Fuckabees.
Slay. Fuckabees. She said fuckabees.
save it.
When I was watching the movie, today, I was like, oh, the whole episode is going to be us just quoting the movie.
Oh, no. It's going to be so horrible. Isn't it funny that our first episode of gay people movies is going to be us being very straight about a gay person movie?
And now came talk.
Hi.
Howdy.
If we sound a little like happy and joyous and jubilant, it's because we've reached a very important milestone.
Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about our body count.
We're not talking about our body count, but it is the same number. That's right. You're listening to episode 100 of Straight Woo! People Movies.
Woo! With an asterisk next to it, because with all the lost episodes and the ones we deleted, yes, it's more like 104, but...
Yes. We're not going to talk about Cuckoo's Nest or Fight Club or episode with Nicole. We love you. We'll have you back on. This is Straight People Movies. It's a podcast where we two gays get together and we watch a movie made for straight people and we ask the question, why?
And why has never been more important than today?
This movie, the tagline for this movie just is why.
It's why.
My name is Dylan Garcia.
And I'm Kirk Van Sickle.
And we decided to do something fun for y'all.
A little treat.
A little deviation. So there's some movies that we talk about all the time on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
Annihilation.
And Mother. Like the piano teacher. Mother. The Works of Isabel Huppert.
Lars von Trier.
And so we decided, like, we've talked about these movies kind of in the abstract. We've referenced them. But let's talk about one of the most foundational, great movies that is brought up all the time. And that, of course, is I Heart Huckabees.
Yes, a movie with a fan of two, me and Dylan.
A fan? Look, if there are a million fans of I Heart Huckabees, we're two of them. If there are two, it's us. And if there are none, we're both dead.
Yep.
We're here to talk about it, and I'm so fucking excited.
I know, like, me too.
God, it's so... Let's just get into it.
I'm so excited.
What's the wrap-up?
So, for anyone that has not seen I Heart Huckabees, stop what you're doing right now and watch it.
Literally, it's an hour 45.
It's on HBO Max. Easy. Okay. And just to give you a little background, the movie we watched this week is I Heart Huckabees. It's the 2004 David O. Russell film starring Jason Schwartzman, Mark Wahlberg, Jude Law, Naomi Watts, Lily Tomlin, Dustin Hoffman, and the queen herself, Isabelle Huppert.
Isabelle Huppert, they're probably the only time you'll ever talk about Isabelle Huppert on this podcast.
I know, we're so lucky. And what's funny is, I mean, we'll get into it, but it's kind of funny because this movie is, well... I don't know if we can classify it.
Yeah, I don't know.
STR8, baby.
It's not.
Because you know what? We're going off script and we're doing whatever the fuck we want for this one episode. It's we're going back to our regular programming.
Yeah, then we're going to talk about fucking Jurassic Park or whatever. I don't know.
We already did that one.
We already did that one. I was like, did we do that? I feel like, why did I watch that recently?
We did Jurassic Park. For a little background, the movie is about an environmentalist poet who hires a pair of existential detectives to investigate a series of coincidences, as well as finding out what really happens in the meadow at dusk.
Nothing.
Something. Everything. Yeah, everything. Nothing. Everything. I'm already fucking up all the quotes because I'm starving. Oops. And like I said earlier, it's currently available to watch on HBO Max. If you hate it,
yes.
What's wrong with you? If you love it, tell us how we changed your life by showing you this movie.
For real.
That's I Heart Huckabees. Let's get into it.
We'll start with saying that David O. Russell belongs in jail. Like, literally belongs in jail. Yeah, no, literally. Not like how pop people talk about, like, so-and-so belongs in jail. Like, he actually should be, like, in prison
forever. Yeah, it's
forever.
Like Bryan Singer level, for sure.
Yeah, he's a bad person. We are not... This is the only David O. Russell movie I think I like Silver Linings Playbook, and I also like American Hustle, but like
your most
I will not defend.
Take.
I will not defend David O. Russell at all. He can go to hell. But we're talking about this movie anyway.
We're talking about this movie that we love that he made anyway.
For real. Do what I did and watch my DVD of it that I bought used. He's not getting that 10 cents or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, HBO Max, I'm sure he's not making any money off of those
streams. Oh, he's not making any fucking money. No, man. Also, I don't think there's a Blu-ray of this movie.
Oh, wow. That checks out. It's really indie comedy from the 2000s. It really, really, and it feels that way when you're watching it, for sure.
It's fucking crazy. This movie made $20 million, which is about $22 million more than I thought it would have made.
Oh, totally. That's what you get. That this is back when people went and saw movies because of, like, star power. Like, This is, like, the height of Jason Schwartzman. Naomi Watts is on the up and up. Dustin Hoffman and Lily Tomlin are legends. Isabel Huppert brought in the Euro audience, I guess.
I think this is the Jude Law year where he's in, like, 75
movies.
Oh,
yeah, Jude Law, too. Jeez, yeah, this is the era of Jude Law. Yeah, and I do feel like around this time, you know, you got your Ghost Worlds. You got your Eternal Sunshines. You know, I feel like being John Malkovich, I feel like probably is what set it all off. But I feel like weird, abstract, awkward comedies with big idea themes were really big around this time. And then that sort of slowly transitioning into your Garden States and your Little Miss Sunshines as time went on.
Yeah, I think Huckabee is, like, of that ilk. Huckabee is probably the one that holds up the best. Like, because when you watch it, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. You can tell that at least an hour was cut out of this movie.
100%. And I can't imagine any of the actors reading this script and being like, I want to be in this movie. Because I don't know how you read this and, like, see a movie.
Yeah, maybe Jason Schwartzman, maybe, and Isabel Huppert. I could see being, like, down. But, like, everyone else, like, I don't know what voodoo magic they did on Dustin Hoffman to get him in this movie. But, I mean, he's great in it, so I'm glad that he's in it.
I'm just imagining Isabel Huppert reading two pages of this. And she's like, I love spanking to monkey. I'll be in it.
Yeah, she said, I want to get covered in mud and fuck.
I want to rub my Louis Vuitton.
She's like, I want to do something a little fun. It's something fun.
I never get to take Polaroids.
I don't even know what the Polaroid camera is.
Her Polaroid is so slay. I love her camera.
I love Lily Tomlin's little digital camera.
Yes. Oh, my God. You know how, like, all the fucking, like, 22-year-olds have, like, digicams now and are, like, so into that? Like, I'm surprised that image of her, like, taking the picture with the sunglasses on the bike, like, hasn't made the rounds.
Well, that's the thing about this movie is it really is forgotten and... Mm-hmm. It does not really seem to be having any sort of resurgence. We're probably the only people on earth that are doing a podcast episode about this movie, except for maybe I'm sure that one podcast that does like this was people thought this was going to get nominated for an Oscar. Probably did this one.
They did.
Yeah. Because I'm sure like before it came out, everyone's like, oh, it's a new Being John Malkovich type movie. It'll get nominated for a screenplay or something. Nope.
Mm-hmm. No, God, no.
But that's the thing. That's the charm of this movie, though, I think, is that like it really honestly like rewatching the movie is so steeped in nostalgia for me, number one. So like, I'm never going to give this anything other than a 5, but it is funny rewatching it. Cause I think the whole, like that a lot was probably cut out of the movie, that it's kind of a mess, that it's all over the place. That was a lot more apparent to me this viewing, but that's part of its charm for me.
Yes.
Is it's a mess and no one seems to know what they're doing in this movie, but also kill it at the same time.
It feels like a dream. Like it's like few like David Lynch is the only person that can get dream logic, but like this is the closest thing that I can see like watching a movie and I'm like, oh, this feels like exactly like how a dream.
What I like about this movie though versus like a Lynch, and I'm not like hating on Lynch, I'm just saying that what I like about this movie is it feels timeless, but it doesn't have all this like Americana imagery attached to any of it. Like everything about it feels so suburban. It feels like an office building. It feels like really blank and mundane. Mm-hmm. You don't even like know what fucking like city they're in. It just feels like a random place that could be anywhere. And I feel like Russell like really captures that mundanity really well. And it's an abstract movie, but only because of its performances, only because of the situations, only because everyone's committing. The world itself feels like really normal, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after seeing like Beau's Afraid, which I loved. Well, not loved. I liked. But it's like, I feel like with weird abstract movies or like Everything Everywhere, I feel like they go so in your face with the visual. And I really appreciated watching I Heart Huckabees again because I'm like, wow, like you don't have to like have a crazy visual palette to make a weird movie. The movie could just be weird. It could be about weird things and weird people.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I'm thinking of the scene where they go to Jean Smart's house.
Oh, I love that scene. It still makes me cringe so hard.
It's so funny. And in the background, there's kids playing basketball in the front yard, and one of them has, like, a fake beard and mustache.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's never commented upon, and he never gets, like, focus of the screen. It's just, like... Just cause.
But like, even
why
in
not?
The office for the existential detectives, there's such like a mishmash of different kinds of people, but it's nothing mm-hmm. outlandish. It's just interesting to see like this kind of person and this kind of person in a room together, you mm-hmm. know? But it's like people that you would like see on the street. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
it's not like what I like about this movie is it's like a hipster movie without being a hipster movie.
Yes.
Especially around this era, I feel like, with Garden State being a great example of a movie we just did recently, I feel like it really, like, pushes that narrative of, like, we're just, like, cool and unaffected and, like, sad.
Well, it's, like, yeah, it's, like, actual hipsterdom as opposed to, like, commenting on hipsterdom, which I feel like, early 2000s, like, whenever you're, like, reading Pitchfork and shit and, like, actually writing a fixie in 2003.
Right.
Like, that's actual hipster shit. And then, like... Whenever like hipster became like when Taylor Swift's using the word hipster in 2012, like it's like come through like 12 photocopies of a photocopy at that
right.
point.
Right. It's like everyone in the late 2000s was just trying to be Jason Schwartzman in this movie because it's mm-hmm. like not try hard. It was just like he yeah. just rode a bike because he like doesn't believe in driving a car. Like there's actually like a reason behind it.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, it's not, ooh, this is a quirky thing that I do because I'm quirky.
Yes.
He does it because he's a poet and an environmentalist and a... He wrote the charter.
Early 2000s pre-Juno hipsterdom, you know, is really like, for me, when I think about like, if I could have lived in any era, you know, it's like the world of this movie, the world of Me and You and Everyone We Know, which I think is another film that's strange and kind of quirky, but like, it's because the characters mm-hmm. are quirky, not because the movie itself is that quirky. I yeah. just, to me, like, this was the goal. When I was younger, I was like, I want to be like these people. Like,
yes. When I found out what, like, mumblecore was, I was like, ugh, I would love if that was – I would love to be a mumblecore bitch.
God, we should bring mumblecore back. Let's just make a fucking yes. movie on a phone.
Well, that's what I think. I feel like we've had every era of nostalgia except for nostalgia of, like, the 2002 – like, basically, like, immediate post 9/11.
No, we totally went from the 90s and jumped to late 2000s and D-sleaze. And the reason mm-hmm. why I believe – is because it's not Instagrammable. Everything has to uh-huh. be an aesthetic. It's like I said, everything is like, you said a photocopy of a photocopy of something that was once cool. Everything is so jumbled up now into like this, like, you got your Lana Del Rey's and it's just everything is so like drenched in like Americana and like mm-hmm. recalling something that like the vibe, no one actually understands the vibe. No one like is actually yes. capturing the vibe. And I think the problem is you got to create your own new vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. We can't bring back the early 2000s, but I would like to bring back maybe an iteration of the early 2000s.
Well, it's this thing that, like, where the world exists. Like, if you were on the internet, you were cool. It was before the internet, like, the internet became this thing that we were all on. It was, like, this, like, other weird small tool that, like, not everyone was on, but the people who were on it were, like, either hobbyists mm-hmm. who ended up being cool as hell, or, like, hipsters and, like, file-sharing people and, like, that shit. And so I don't think we could ever go back to that because I don't know – unless we, like, invent a whole new
form of
communication.
We're too self-aware now, I think, is the problem.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, even the main character in this movie writes, like, shitty poetry about the environment. And he's, like, such – he has lacked so much, like – understanding of whether that's cool or not because he doesn't care about it being cool or not. He just is a dude yeah. that writes bad poetry and cares about the environment and rides a bike.
What's interesting is like I think this movie like fits well. I think it's right for rediscovery because there is this the themes that I take away from the movie, whatever, every time I see it, I always like am amazed at how it is able to communicate the idea of like being too far into an ideology can make you go crazy, but also the absence of an ideology can also make you go crazy, and that at the end of the day, what you really need is just, like, dudes to hang out with.
Yeah, I agree. It's secretly a dudes rock movie. I think that, like, yes. one of the things that really ties the whole movie together, because I will say this about the film, rewatching it and really analyzing it, I feel like the movie split into two distinct halves. The first half is about Jason Schwartzman, the coincidence with the African doorman, and then the altercation with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
The second half of the movie is more about Jude Law.
Yes.
And I think that for a while, it does feel like it's kind of going off the rails a little bit. I'm like, what does this have to do with any of it? But then they tie it all together with that amazing sequence where Jason Schwartzman finally understands that they're the same.
Yeah.
Their pain is the same. They might be very, very, very different people ideologically. They might dress differently, act differently, live a different life. But at the end of the day, they all like want these arbitrary things and these arbitrary successes to feel whole. And that's what they have in common. And I just really liked that. I feel like most movies from this era like want to keep that distinction alive. Mm-hmm. Like there's like the indie boy who's like down with the man and the man is the villain. But in this movie, they're both insufferable and horrible. And then they both realize that they're the same. And I love that. And more movies should have that as the conclusion.
Yes. And like, I think like Mark Wahlberg is like maybe gives the best performance.
It's his best performance. He's so good in this movie. He has like no right to be as good in this movie. It's like a total like throwaway role. Well, actually, Naomi Watts' role is a throwaway role, and she's also very good in it.
Naomi Watts banging her butt against the glass. I know. Is so fucking funny.
The fuckabees line.
Everything she does.
My favorite part fuckabees of the entire movie that makes me like hysterically laugh is when she shows the commercial of her in the bonnet and overalls. And she goes, this or these seasons tops. Last season, not so good. And then she just like
does like Muppet arms.
And then like falls in them and then does like snow angels in them. I like that is like for me like peak comedy. Like that is
it's
true,
so good.
Amazing. Everyone is really excellent in this movie. I actually do think that the whole thing would probably fall apart if the performances weren't so on point. It's really interesting though, because we brought it up a little bit earlier when we were chatting at the beginning of this. I don't know if that'll make it in, but probably at this point, the most famous thing this movie has is the viral fights that got on the internet between Lily Tomlin and David O. Russell, which is really interesting because I read some interviews since then and Lily Tomlin like doesn't like have like any feelings about it. She's like,
no,
she's like, people like get mad on set. People fight. Like, he's a volatile guy. He just wanted things a certain way. We butted heads. It happens. This one just got filmed and put on the internet, which I thought was really interesting. It makes you wonder, like, how often, like blow-ups like this happen on film sets, you know?
It has to be so often. Like, it can't just be David. Like, I'm just imagining. I'm trying to think of, like, who maybe the worst director. I feel like, would Ridley get mad?
I feel like Michael Bay would get mad.
Yeah, he would get real mad. He'd get even with you.
Yeah, he's probably really scary. I just think it's really interesting. I mean, I will say that, like, rewatching it, I was, you know, and I don't want to be on, like, David O. Russell's side because he actually sucks as a person, but it is interesting to watch the fight and realize that, like, Lily Tomlin, like, does, like, egg him on.
Yeah, she does.
Like, in the fight in the office, she's, like, whining about like how she can't do like the three things at once, or she's like, I don't understand like what you want me to do blocking wise, and she keeps like bitching about it, and I feel like I don't think it warranted the reaction that he actually gave, which was like throwing a light, throwing a book, calling her a cunt, storming off set. But also, like, it's not like she was just like chilling and he got mad. Like, they were like,
yeah,
she was like getting on him for sure. And it probably was stressful, I would assume. I mean, he was like young at the time. This is like his like second movie ever, third movie ever.
Yeah.
Apparently took
Spanking the Monkey.
It was really hard to like get this movie made, and you're working with this like prestigious actress.
Yeah, you're working with Lily Tomlin, and you're also trying to direct this like fucking insane movie. Like, I don't know how you like communicate these ideas to like people. Like, it's so, what is on the screen is so individual and distinct. Like, I don't know how you communicate.
Yeah,
that.
It's so funny that it ended up working, at least in my mind. I know that the critics don't agree, and most people on Letterboxd don't seem to agree either. But
I know.
But I think that the movie's very funny. I think that there's not a lot of comedies that can simultaneously like make me feel emotional, actually existential at parts, and also make me laugh like a lot. Like,
yes,
I just don't understand like what's not the appeal. I don't really get why people don't like it.
Nothing. I mean, this movie is literally, it's hard saying it's laugh a minute, because, but like, it is, but it's not your traditional like The Office or Friends, whatever, but like every line is funny in this movie. But I think the hardest I laugh in the movie is whenever Jude Law confronts the detectives in his office and they turn the tables on him by having the recordings of the chicken salad story, and it's the most horrifying shit in the entire world. And if that ever happened to me, I would kill
myself.
You're
so right. And then right
them.
After that, the whole, like, how am I not myself moment in the bathroom is like, it like is painful to watch.
It's real.
And I'm like, yeah, like I've gone through this kind of ego death before, really stoned. Yes. So I get it. And I wasn't in my office before a really important meeting. So I can't imagine.
Well, it's like, I just think about all the times I've like told a story, and it's like, how many times have I told the story before and have these people heard it before? And it's like, it's so, you just get in your head about like the performance of the self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, this movie is really heady and it makes you think, but it doesn't feel like homework ever.
It doesn't. It's like, I mean, probably for people that are really into existentialism, they're probably like, oh, this movie's like so surface level. But like,
like whenever they're going to the trash and they're like, oh, he planted Kafka for us to find to throw us off.
Yeah, that was, that part is so funny. When they're like prancing through the sprinklers and they're like, shit, fuck. It's so good.
So good.
It's so good. I love this movie. The whole scene where like Lily Tomlin snuck into the Huckabee's corporate office and that lady's like, you're a sneaky lady. Come here. Come on.
Shania's not singing for you today. We gotta go.
Shania's not singing for you today. Yeah. So good. So good. Also, one of my favorite cameos in a movie ever, Shania Twain.
Oh, so good. So
funny. This movie's
crazy. I'm a vegetarian. I eat.
This movie is
crazy. I eat tofu tuna.
It's so good. I love this movie. I think it's like, I do think it's a laugh a minute. I think it's hilarious. Oh, another good line is when Jason Schwartzman goes, when Lily Tomlin's like, have you ever transcended time and space? And he goes,
oh my God.
Yes, no, time, not space. No, I don't know what you're talking about. That like line delivery is like,
so fucking good. It's, oh my God. Everything in this movie is funny.
It's so funny.
Like whenever she dives into the back of the car.
Oh, so good.
It has different types of humor. It's like has really heady, like really funny jokes, has really stupid jokes. Like whenever the scene where Isabelle Huppert and Jason Schwartzman fuck is the stupidest thing I've ever seen on screen.
It's so good though. Just
rubbing mud in each other's like vagina and shit. It's so stupid. But it has like really smart moments also, but then it has really good physical comedy. I think all the stuff and all of, like, the animation is really funny.
I
in
love
the movie
those
with, like,
scenes.
The machete.
But like I said, it's like the animation sequences, like with like the little like we're all connected. It's like simultaneously heady and makes you go, huh, like in a stoner way, but also makes you laugh. Like I just don't feel like a lot of movies like are able to toggle that line really well. They either go one direction where they take themselves too seriously or it's too silly. And I feel like this movie is able to do both at the same time, which is like really hard.
Well, it's like I feel like this is the only topic movies want to talk about right now is mental illness, which is like, great, yes, love it, but it's also like, give us healthcare sort of things. And I feel like this movie couldn't get made today because it would not, because it's like problematic or whatever, but it's like, I feel like people aren't interested in topics that like this.
No.
Like a true
existentialism. No, this is like the post OK Computer world. It lasted like 10 years, and then 9/11 also probably contributed to the thought process, and then it like died in the late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people just, damn. The recession killed existential thought. Everyone's like, we need money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to be
thinking
about this shit.
Yeah, we
gotta
work. We don't have time to sit around and think. It sucks. It's like, I just don't think we're ever going to get a movie like this ever again. We barely get comedies as it is.
We don't get very good comedies. I do feel like we're like at a really bad place with comedy right now. But I mean, this is also me. Like, I'm very picky about what I think is funny. And I will say that like to comedies, comedies more than any other genre to me really show the time period. It's like when you watch like Clue, for example, it's a very like specific time and place. When you watch Mel Brooks, that's a very specific time and place. Like it's really hard to like, you, comedy's always like evolving, I feel like, even more than any other genre. And maybe that's what makes like comedy so special. It's like watching The Naked Gun with our movie club and it just doesn't resonate with me. But people that like grew up watching that like love it. You know, I can't imagine like a Zoomer watching I Heart Huckabees and being like, this movie slay.
They would turn it off.
It's like, because I watched it when I was like 13 years old and it was like the time in my life where I was the most impressionable. It's like it spoke to me. And to this day, the kinds of comedies that I tend to like, even modern day ones, are more in line with what I Heart Huckabees is trying to do. Like your Search Parties, like your Kate Berlance. Like it's just a little, a little heady, a little weird, a little absurd, but it's like grounded in like real shit. And it makes you, like, a little uncomfortable.
This is the first watch for me in the pandemic. Like, in 2020, I watched it. And watching it was one of those things whenever you're – it was like what I said about Beau's Afraid last week, where it's like you watch it and you're like, damn, this is one of my favorite things ever. I can tell already.
Yeah.
just like, and it's just, it's so, it holds up so well. Please go fucking watch Huckabees.
Yeah, I think it's like totally, God. I think it's great. I think it's so funny. I, maybe for a lot of people, maybe it is like the physical comedy and the absurdity of it that throws people off. I'm not sure. Like, if y'all don't like the movie, let us know why. I'm like really curious.
Yeah.
What well, doesn't I know work that for
former former guest and former and future guest Kyle Amato doesn't like this movie, and he's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, that's kind of the movie's like whatever you want it to be. You know, it can be as heady or as stupid as you want it to be.
Yeah, it's not like I even like really relate that much to the characters in it or anything.
No,
I just think it's like funny to take these four, I guess, really different types of people and put them in an existential crisis and see how they are. I just think that's the humor in it. It's like Naomi Watts, of course, like being the feeling the pressure of having to be pretty all the time is like her issue. And like, and I just think the response of that being wearing a bonnet and eating chocolate and destroying your teeth is like funny. It's just like a funny, it's funny way for that to go. Like everything about it just feels really clever to me, you know?
Yes. Cause I feel like, if we were done today, it would be like some sort of comment on the internet. And it's like, I'm so glad like online doesn't exist in this world.
It doesn't. They don't like bring it up really at all. The most like technology that's in the movie is the stereo that they're trying to fix in Jason Schwartzman's mom's apartment.
It's programmed to all my favorite stations.
It's on a timer.
That scene does have my favorite line in the entire fucking movie. It makes me scream every time I hear it. So whenever Jason Schwartzman's mom goes, what does she say? I wrote it down. Sorry. I want to get it exactly correct because it's perfect. She says, what are you, a bitch? You're a bitch. How many kids do you have, bitch?
So good. And, it's and then he's so Hilbert goes, good. Listen, this is your mother. This is your mother. So good. I will say that the cringiest moment in the movie, I think, in retrospect, is when she brings the African doorman in and she goes, He was separated from his family because of civil unrest. You were separated from your family from, I think it was, like neglect. You are the same. That's your connection. And I was like, ooh, ooh. But it's also like funny.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It's like at the end of the day, it's just like this movie is. It's so you can take away from it like, oh yes, we are all connected, or there is no great thing. Like we're all alone in the cosmos. That's what's great about the movie is
it doesn't seem to like really like it like doesn't land on anything. And I actually like that its conclusion is that you need a little bit of both. It's like a little cheesy, but it's like it like works for the movie. It's like I think it does a good job of tying everything up together, and it feels like satisfying at the end. It's like, oh, when you're depressed, sometimes you just got to think that everything's bullshit and you have a nihilistic point of view. And then when you want to feel like better about your life, you're like, hey, like none of this like matters, but in a good way. Like, you know, like we're all connected.
Mm-hmm. It's all a blanket.
It's all the blanket.
It's all the blanket. It's got everything. It's got me, you, cheeseburgers. It's everything.
A war.
A war. It's just a miracle. This movie is a fucking miracle.
Yeah. And I think it's aged really well. I think that like it really stands out as like a really unique movie that nothing else is like. There's nothing else like it at all.
Yeah. It's perfect. Please go fucking watch it. It's just I have nothing left to say, but go fucking watch
it. It's hilarious.
Jean Smart's in it. I mean, y'all all are Jean Smart now. But she was crushing
it. Would she say, I brought a Sudanese refugee in my home?
She goes, you're the Hitler.
So good.
So fucking stupid. I love it. So
I love that scene.
Whenever. Also, just like Mark Wahlberg telling his like
daughter,
5-year-old daughter, like,
so mommy can have her nice shoes. Is that fair? I don't want the children to go blind.
And I never noticed his like costuming in the movie until this time, but it's like his buttons are always one button off and he's still wearing his firefighter boots everywhere.
It's so good.
He looks fucking insane.
Oh my god, this scene with the woman singing in Spanish is one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie. Where he goes, that was really beautiful, Senorita, but that you did not answer my question about petroleum. I don't see what that has to do with the petroleum at all. That's one note. That's two. That's three questions for Senora. Senora is tired.
She has been flown in from Spain. to provide the Mancala Club some pleasure.
So good.
I think they're, whatever, at that scene where they're at the Mancala Club and they're like, the guy's pouring a drink and it's like, he squeezes a lemon, puts like 2 tablespoons of sugar, and then just pours it into a shot glass. So dumb.
Movie's so good.
What a perfect film. It's so fucking 5 stars. Good. 5 stars. Truly, genuinely 5-star movie. Why do straight people love
this? They don't.
They don't.
They don't. That's right, people. We're fucking shit up this episode.
Uh-huh. There's nothing in this movie that's straight. Maybe Dustin Hoffman.
No. Even he's a little fruity.
He's a little fruity. The guy from Veep who says, she said fuckabees. Maybe, but he's not in it enough.
No.
Everything about this movie is gay. But it doesn't... The thing is about it is that it doesn't feel like a gay people movie. It just doesn't feel straight.
Yeah. Either. It's not even asexual or any of the other types of sexualities. It's its own thing.
This movie is kind of like, there is a sex scene in the movie, but like it still feels rather asexual. Like it still feels like the sex scene doesn't feel like they're having sex to like make love or like explore each other's body. It just seems like a weird power play.
Yeah, Isabel Huppert literally does it to teach them both a lesson. It's iconic.
Yeah. Like also, is Jason Schwartzman the hairiest person to ever live?
Oh yeah. Ugh. This is like peak hotness.
He's supposed
for
to be like 22. Like, how old is he?
I think he was around like, that age. I mean, he's so, like yeah, a baby in Rushmore.
Yeah, he was
so
20, 22, 23 when he made this yeah. movie. God damn it.
Yeah. They just looked different then. They just looked older then. They weren't mm-hmm. all twinky like we are now.
I know. Yeah. Girl. Who would you cast in a modern day Huckabees? Yes. Okay. So I would probably, in the Jason Schwartzman role, maybe put Barry Keoghan. Is he a little too slow?
He's a little too weird. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Is it's like ever all the actors nowadays are either too real or they're like real wacky. I'm like, yeah. Who can just like say their lines?
Yeah, who's like a good actor? You can't really.
There's no this young actors. Kind of like, I feel like they could be a Jason Schwartzman. That's the thing.
Put Austin Butler in it.
Oh God.
She's bald.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't think you can.
Because it's so hard to imagine because it's like, who would be in this movie?
No, yeah, no one would fucking be in this movie. And no one could make this movie either. Like, I can't think of a director. But that's also like the thing is that like, David O'Russell, this isn't like normal for David O'Russell. Yeah. Like, he doesn't make this kind
this
of
This is
shit.
His
like,
outlier, movies, I would say.
Yeah, this is the one weird ass movie because like, he followed this up with The Fighter.
Yeah, he said, fuck that shit. I want an Oscar.
Yep. It's crazy this is Jonah Hill's, like, first movie.
I know, and he actually does have a couple funny lines in it, and sells
yeah, he
it.
Got to the Omega level. Doesn't he, like, shoot milk out of his
and
nose?
Richard Jenkins. It's so crazy that so Gene good. Smart, Richard Jenkins, and Jonah Hill don't even show up in the beginning credits. That's
For
how,
real.
Like, not anyone they were at that point.
They got 4 minutes of screen time, that's
and
it.
And sold the shit out of that scene. It's one of the best scenes in the whole movie. It's so funny.
Ate it.
Makes me Absolutely so uncomfortable.
Is there anything gay about this movie? Yes.
Lots of things.
Every actress in this movie.
Very gay.
Top line. Lily Tomlin, Naomi Watts, incredible. Tippi Hedren.
I can't believe
incredible.
I didn't register until this watch that's Tippi Hedren.
I know, it's so wild. She looks great.
God, crazy. Shania Twain.
Talia Shire. Shania Twain. The cutout of Shania Twain.
The lady escorting Lily Tomlin out of the office.
Yes. Isla Fisher. 14-year-old Isla Fisher. Like, how old was she? Like, I guess it's the same year as Wedding Crashers. So, yeah.
So crazy. Again, another actor that was, like, not even in the main credits.
For real. It's just, like, so many people and so many actors in this movie giving, serving. Every actor serves in this
yeah.
movie.
I would argue that the actors are a little gay in this movie. I would get on my knees and give everything to Mark Wahlberg's character in this movie.
For
he's
real.
So hot in this movie. It's the hottest he's ever been. I wish he played more weird, quirky roles like this because...
Never again. He's never
yeah,
doing it
Yeah,
because
he's like a super Christian now, right?
Yeah, he's like all super Christian-y and weird and... Just let him have his Transformers movies or whatever.
And yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, it's incredible. Dustin Hoffman is so, I feel like he's like kind of underplayed in this movie. I don't know, he's probably like the least silly of everyone in the movie, but he's still really silly.
He's so like, real. It's very grounded. Like, even when he's like, oh, the French surrealist Marguerite is my, you know, and he just says it with such a, like, such honesty, you know?
Or when he has all the chalk on him from the art behind him. Oh, I love that
detail. So good.
But yeah, everyone just fucking eats in this movie, and to that we salute you.
Yes, very gay to eat.
I think the dialogue, I think this is, like, the exception, because I feel like gay people do have movies in which they quote like straight people do, like Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, you know, but you are, Blanche, you are on that chair. And I'm trying to think, oh, I'm ready for my close up, Mr. DeVille. You know, the classic quotes. This movie, if gay people ever saw it, would enter the canon.
I feel like the ultimate modern day gay people quoting thing is just who can do the entire airplane scene from Bridesmaids. Like, I bet every gay has their Kristen Wiig Bridesmaids impression.
Mm-hmm. Mine is, oh no, that's Maya Rudolph whenever she's walking down the street and then she shits herself in the wedding dress.
Oh, so good.
That's my impression. That's the
line I always like to do from that airplane scene is when she goes, oh no, that is not me. I am Mrs. Iglesias. I'm Mrs. Iglesias.
God.
Amazing.
Kristen Wiig would kind of eat as, in like 10 years, as Lily Tomlin character.
Oh my God, that'd be so fun. I would love to see her take on that. That's a good one.
So much fun. Honestly, yeah, put like Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader
in 10, 15 years. Oh my God, yes. And then some twink who we don't know yet.
And a twink.
As Jason Schwartzman.
And then Lea Seydoux. Lea Seydoux can play
Isabel Huppert, yes. Oh, I love it.
We recast it. All right, that's the thing. Once this damn strike is over, moving to LA with my pitch for the remake of I Heart Huckabees.
Oh my God.
Where I change nothing. It is the exact same script. It's like Gus Van Sant's Psycho.
You just try to sell it to A24, so then people can pretend to like it.
You can put an emoji in the title. It's edgy. The youth want it. I eggplant emoji.
And then what else is gay about this movie, I think? That everyone hates it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone hates it, and no one liked it, and no one saw it, and nothing gayer.
Nothing
than
gayer than a movie with like a 62% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, nothing. If this movie came out today, F Cinema Score.
Oh yeah,
easy F Cinema Score. Yeah, I think this movie is just like, I think the thing that's stopping it really is David O. Russell, which is like understandable.
It's
yes.
David O. Russell, and the fact that like when people want to reappraise older movies, it's never comedies.
No,
except for like Jennifer's Body.
Yep. And I think like this has the potential to be like like Dudes Rock Jennifer's Body. I wish it was.
It really could be. Imagine if they like really like went all out with the Jude Law Jason Schwartzman thing and made them like make out.
Yeah. Oh my God. They got close in the elevator.
I know.
They got real close. Ooh. Jude Law. Let's go real quick. Let's rank his 2004.
Oh yeah. This was his big year.
This is his big year. So this is the year. I mean, he had been in, I mean, he's obviously been in things forever. He was in Ripley, like
Gattaca
and Existence. Gattaca.
AI.
Like he really went crazy. And in 2004, he had I Heart Huckabees. Okay. Alfie.
Mm, haven't seen it.
Closer.
Mm.
The Aviator. Mm. Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow. And I'll count it because it is a voice role, but he still is in it. A Series of Unfortunate Events.
So are we doing ranking the performances or ranking the films?
Let's rank the films.
Okay. So I haven't seen Alfie.
I haven't seen Alfie. Put it at the bottom.
Great.
I would put Sky Captain in the World
so
of Tomorrow.
So I saw
next.
It in theaters
fucking blows.
When I was 13 and I liked it, but I think you said you rewatched it recently and you said it was terrible.
It's awful. It looks like, yeah, it's like that footage of that went around Twitter yesterday that I was like, can you believe AI made this? And it looked like shit. Have you seen that?
No, but I saw
it's like,
so like the AI directors. Wes Anderson Star Wars. And I was like, this literally looks like a nightmare. Like,
it looks terrible.
It's ugly.
Like, tell me you've never seen a Wes Anderson movie or
all the Wes Anderson movies are just symmetry and color.
That's it.
Ugh. Y'all have no nasty.
Next up, I would probably put A Series of Unfortunate Events. I love that movie. I think it's so much fun.
I love the score to that movie. It's one of my favorite scores of all time.
All the music involved, because like the guy from Stephen Merritt from Magnetic Fields did an album with the author series of Unfortunate Events. That's very good.
I've never heard of that.
The Gothic Archies, highly suggest they made one album. Music related to the series of Unfortunate Events? Slay.
Yes.
The Aviator, I'd probably
go next. Love The Aviator. So name the other movies again really quick.
The What We Have Left is Huckabee's and Closer.
Oh, okay, well then, yeah, The Aviator's next.
Yeah.
But I love The Aviator. It's one of my favorite Scorsese movies, and it looks gorgeous. It's well acted. Mm-hmm. Gwen Stefani's in it. Kate Beckinsale's
yes,
in
she
it.
Is.
It's got the craziest like cast. I love that movie.
Incredible.
Leo's great in it. It's my favorite performance by him.
Now we got to fight. What's better, Closer or Huckabee's?
Huckabee's.
Hey, Huckabee's is so good, but Closer is so
I love Closer,
good.
But I will say that Huckabee's, like, I bet if I rewatched Closer, I'd be like, ooh, this did not age great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe better as a play. I don't know. I need to see it as a play.
We'll see. We'll see.
You know? I just like that Julia Roberts says, tasted like yours, but sweeter.
But sweeter.
But sweeter. The meanest thing anyone's ever said in a movie.
For real. I love Jude Law. I think he's iconic. He's in two of my four favorite movies of all time, and he's iconic.
Yeah, he's so hot. What happened to him? I feel like his career, like, tanked.
He is currently, you can see him on Disney Plus's Peter Pan and Wendy.
Oh, God.
I mean, he is in Vox Lux.
Ugh.
He's very good in Spy. I liked him in Spy.
I didn't see that.
I don't really remember him in Anna Karenina, but Anna Karenina's
great.
That
movie came out 10 years ago, Dylan.
That movie came out 10 years ago. Side Effects, also 10 years ago.
So, like great I said, not much going on recently.
Like, he's in the Fantastic Beasts movies. He's getting that money. It's fine. Yeah, you know, honestly, not much to call home about.
Yeah, I feel like every great director wanted to work with him for a while, and now I guess the whole, like, cheating on the babysitter thing really fucked his career up.
Yeah. Well, at least he's going to be Henry VIII in Firebrand, also starring Alicia Vikander and no one else.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's go to our gay recommendation sections where we recommend something a little gayer than what we just watched. And the recommendation this week is I Heart Huckabees.
I Heart Huckabees. Watch I Heart Huckabees.
Just watch I Heart Huckabees.
What's the straight version of I Heart Huckabees?
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Being John Malkovich, maybe? The problem with Being John Malkovich is it's like a trans movie, low-key.
Yeah, I mean, like the Cameron Diaz plot.
Yeah, and Catherine Keener, like, becomes John Malkovich and they fuck.
Yeah, like.
And Catherine Keener, or no, Cameron Diaz likes being in a man's body.
Yeah.
So.
Man, 1999 really, really was
the year
of trans representation in cinema. I love it.
Is Adaptation straight?
Oh, Adaptation is definitely straight.
Yeah.
But Judy Greer does show you her boobs.
I don't know.
And there's nothing gayer than that.
And Meryl Streep, like, has a moment where she looks at herself in the mirror in a bathroom. That's very queer-coded to me.
Yeah.
And Chris Cooper has no teeth. I don't know. Is that movie straight?
No. Honestly, the straight version is Beau is Afraid.
Yeah, Beau is Afraid, the movie we watched.
Yeah.
What did we do for the gay record Beau is Afraid?
Mother.
Wow, the Holy Trinity.
Truly of, yeah, movies that make you want to claw your eyes out. But Huckabee's isn't like a slog to watch. Like,
no, it's, I don't
want
I
don't
even
to take
really feel
away.
Like anything
so
that we
fun.
Named, like, really, really, like, I feel like it's just such a unique movie. There's just nothing like it.
Go listen to the John Bryan version of Extraordinary Machine.
Ugh.
And go on a walk. That's the straight version.
God.
The score for this movie is so good.
Yeah,
John Bryan.
The gay wreck is listen to the John Bryan leak of Extraordinary Machine by Fiona Apple.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
That's the even gayer wreck.
Yeah.
Because I do like John Bryan's score quite a lot in this movie. Also, why doesn't he score
it's
movies
very good.
Anymore?
For real,
I love his scores. I love his score to Magnolia. I love his score to Eternal Sunshine. Like, what happened? John.
I mean, it's so... Yeah, because I remember he did Synecdoche. Oh, he did the Paranorman score. I love Paranorman. What a good... It's crazy. Paranorman came out today. The fucking... All the right people that are like, gay... influencing our children would lose their minds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That movie, like, has textual
yeah,
gay stuff.
Yeah, at least Paranorman has that no one saw it on its side.
Yeah. Thank God Laika put it out. But, yeah, he doesn't do too much. Like, what has he produced recently?
He
like,
did Mac Miller's album, I remember. That's, like, the last thing that I've heard of him doing.
Yeah. He did the Lady Bird score.
Oh. How did I not know that? That feels very unlike me to not know that.
Yeah. He did the orchestral arrangements on Lemonade. He did stuff on Blonde. He did stuff on Dirty Computer. So he does, like, he's still doing, like, stuff in music. He did stuff on that really good late Bruce Springsteen record, Western Stars. Mm.
But he's not really doing a lot of movie scores, it sounds like.
Nope. Hmm. Damn.
Paul Thomas Anderson really said, fuck you, and then did has Johnny Greenwood on every score now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, those Johnny Greenwood scores are so good.
Though. I know. The There Will Be Blood score is, like, number one. Dum 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 this is our straightest moment is because I've only done this with straight guys. This like There Will Be Blood impersonation of the score.
Girl, we gotta do There Will Be Blood soon. I fucking
I know that movie makes me want to I fucking love There Will Be Blood. That's probably maybe that's the greatest straight person movie of all time.
Yeah, that's the last episode of Straight From Movies. Is there?
Yeah, then it's over, and then we just play exit music out for a film on a loop.
What does he get? What does he? He says, "I'm finished." Right? That's like the last line of the movie. He goes, "I'm finished."
I'm finished. Yeah, I think that.
I'm finished. Yeah. Perfect film, but that's all we got for I Heart Huckabees. Please, please go watch it. It'll change your life. I promise.
I know. Wow, 100 episodes, our first gay person movie. So many milestones today.
We're here. And here's to 100 more episodes. Hopefully I won't lose any more.
It's all good. And the Cuckoo's Nest episode, although I think that our hottest cinematic take of all time was in that episode. The world was not ready.
It'll be buried with us. It'll be buried.
It's going to the grave.
And I will bleep this out, but what do you think's going to happen first? 100 more episodes or Bruce Valanche finally coming on the episode?
I think Bruce Valanche will get on the episode. I think it's just going to be out of nowhere and we're going to be like,
yeah.
And then I'm going to have to be like, I'm literally in the middle of doing like a million work things. Like I can't. Yeah, and then he's going to be like, okay, well I can't do it. And then I'm going to feel really bad. And then you're probably just going to record an episode with just him or something. I don't know.
Yep,
something weird's going to happen. Something you're going to bring like Brian Bonnet on and like, and then he'll just become me. And then I'll be like, what happened? I'm not on the show anymore.
Yeah, sorry. I replaced my brunette friend with glasses with my redhead friend with glasses. Sorry.
Yeah. First episode ever with somebody else. And it's with Bruce Valanche. That sounds like a really chaotic thing that you would do, actually.
I would do that shit. That's insane. Me and Brian we are working on a separate show, but it's not film related. So do not feel.
Wow.
There's any competition. It's magic related. So
two podcasts. It'll be separate. Okay.
Two podcasts. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Shit, girl. Know. When are we going to hire a team to do like the edits and our social media and like.
For real. We need to.
We have like $600 in the bank.
I know. We got plenty of money in the Spotify account. We got.
Every once in a while I see that and I'm like, should we just take this out and split it? I could use $300.
Oh yeah. Like, girl, whenever the podcast is over or like whenever you need money, honestly, I'll probably take it out whenever I move. Like,
there you go. Just take it out. Just take it out when you.
I'll take half of it whenever I move and that'll go toward my move to Chicago.
Because we're not going to use it to hire anyone.
No. This podcast is for funsies, for shits and giggles.
Yep.
And for smarties.
Yeah, for smarties just like us. Okay, well, hopefully none of this makes it into the episode. It's a little too much of a peek behind the curtain. We don't want you to see Oz.
It is. Yeah, y'all don't get to see how much money we have. All right. Well, my name is Dylan. You can find me on Twitter at Diane. What is my thing? Diane Warren Vivo. And then on Instagram and Letterboxd at Garcia.
My name is Kirk, and you can find me on Instagram at Kirk_VanSickle. And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at KRKVNSCKLE.
Woo! And not only do we heart Huckabees, but we heart you.
Yes, thank you so much for being here and for the people that have been here since day one. Thank you. Icons. You're not getting anything except for a thanks. A lot.
You're getting a thanks. And if I see you in public, I'll give you a firm handshake.
I'm going to give you a big old kiss.
A big old kiss.
Mwah. Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
And now came talk. Talk.